Hello, everybody. Good morning, and Devin is here too. So let's say hi to everyone. Why don't we unmute?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Okay, good. So it's kind of funny. I want to say, how are you all doing? But I know it's hard for you to all say it at once. This is your time to really own this process and make it your own, and to deal with any issues or questions or concerns or where you get stuck or whatever you want to talk about, or talk about, better yet, talk about the successes and the insights and the discoveries you're making, because the more you own this, this is your process and you have it for the rest of your life. And we haven't really worked out protocols for people becoming practitioners in this, and some people are just taking it on themselves and started helping other people successfully, I should say. But I'm not yet in a position to say how that's going to work, but you keep exploring and letting me know how things work out, and maybe we'll figure that out one day. Anyway, if you'd like to talk, just press 1. And we'll just go freeform because I don't have any particular agenda. This is your time to own this system as best you can, and then you can take it with you. All right, Devin?
Okay, good morning, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great.
I just wanted to call back in and say that I went through some more emotional releases this past week, and my heel has, well, let's see, how do I say this? It seems like more emotional things comes up, it will manifest in my heel.
Ah, yes, it's the old barometer. So what
yeah.
I mean by that is, I think I mentioned that before, that you may have some part of your body that it will always be your barometer. And
okay.
Whenever you need to deal with stuff, that part of your body starts saying, oh, excuse me, but I'm here. And but hopefully it'll never be as painful or difficult or challenging as it was originally. It'll just be a barometer.
I think that that's going to be the case. It varies from day to day. For example,
yeah.
Today when I first get up on it, that's when it hurts the worst.
Yeah.
But if I'm on it for a while, then, you know, the pain pretty well goes away. However, this morning, it, for some reason, it's bothering me a little bit more. It's almost to the point where I don't even notice it anymore, but then it lets me know that it's there from
right.
time to time throughout the day. So I just wanted to say that I didn't know how to address it. So when that happens, first thing in the morning, should I just kind of look at what's been going on lately then, or how what time period should I look at?
Well, usually 3 days is a good indication.
Okay.
Something
Thank
within
you.
The last 3 days. Now, typically, people don't want to feel all their emotions and express everything that's happening, and a lot of times it would be socially unacceptable to do so.
Right.
And so we sit on it, we bury it, and then we feel it. So what I'd recommend is do a survey at least like in the evening before you go, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed, and say, okay, what happened today? What am I feeling?
Wow.
What's going on here? And really look and say, am I feeling everything that there was to feel today, or am I sitting on a lot? Am I burying it, suppressing it? And just give yourself the space. It's kind of like a preventive emotional process where you just start processing because you know you didn't finish everything there was. I remember I was directing a pilot TV show many years ago, and I was having so much fun, I didn't get all my laughter done at the end of the day, and I have to spend time at night before I went to bed just to finish laughing. It's an extreme case, but you need to finish your emotions each day, and maybe you won't wake up with the problems.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because I've always had, well, not had to, but I've always been kind of like an ostrich with its head stuck in the sand
mm-hmm.
when things were so wild and hectic in my life.
Yeah.
So I know that's where this has all come from, and you're just explaining it in ways that I can really see it better.
Yes. Well, good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and that preventive thing can really be valuable, and then maybe you can start doing it sooner. Now, what
uh-huh.
a lot of people do is they just want to wait till everything stacks up before they let themselves feel all the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can take a proactive approach, you know,
right.
the better it'll be, because then you can just deal with it at the time, and then maybe you find out you don't have any symptoms at all.
Yeah,
because,
that would be great.
Yeah, because as we realize that, you know, the conditions are communication from our higher consciousness of what's going on, our higher priority is to get emotionally well.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, good.
Okay, let's hear from Teresa.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Richard, Devin. I have a question for you. I have not done the complete process. I have company through next week, and I truly believe this is something I want to honor, this process. I feel very strongly about it,
yeah.
almost as something very holy. And so I want to do it when I don't have to just do 30 minutes here, 20 minutes there.
Yeah, right.
But as I have been processing and thinking, you know, in preparation for this full process. And even though it doesn't pertain to when it all started, as I had mentioned last week, I could keep going back. Now, one of the things that has come to my attention is that in going back to the time when I was about, well, I was 9 and a half, I left my country, my native country. I was sent to the United States, and I was here for 2 years before my parents were able to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when I think about that, I think, well, I feel I should have some strong feelings about this whole situation, and there is numbness. So
let me talk about numbness for a second. Numbness is very interesting because I haven't really read about this much, but it's just been my own experience that when I'm feeling numb, I have a lot of emotion.
Correct. And that's what I feel, that there's stuff there. So my question is, as I am doing the process, do I sit with the child?
Yes.
Yes,
that's true. What I would suggest is don't try to process the adult feeling of the experience. Go back to the time when the child had the experience and let the child go through the steps of the experience. Now, a way to do that most effectively is to kind of do a biographical thing before the meditation. What I mean is, write down everything you can remember about that time. You know, what it was like going to the airport, getting off the airplane, not knowing where you're going, the fear. Just chronicle the people that you met, things that happened, and try to remember every little detail. Then you can be compassionate and sympathetic to the child and talk to her and go back in time to, bring up the child, say, God, that must have really been scary for you. I can imagine how that felt, you know. And I remember that really hurt. That was really scary, or whatever the emotions are. You just kind of be compassionate and talk about her feelings, and then she'll start to unfold and start to express it. And say, it's safe now, you can talk to me, you know, and just create the space for her to open up.
Okay, because even as you're mentioning it, I had a rise of sad emotion.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. And so what you want to do is you want to just don't be in a hurry to open up that can of worms. Then you're doing a really good job because you're honoring the process, you're taking your time, you're waiting to. The first step of any process is to create the space, and you are creating space to do it, and that is really good. So give yourself that space and take your time and open up that can, you know, and let the sadness start coming through, and let's give her permission and say, you know, let me hug you and hold you or whatever, and just give her space to start feeling that sadness again because it's still inside you.
Okay. Because, you know, it just didn't make any sense that there would be that kind of numbness. Yeah, a little sadness here and there, because I do remember when they were able to communicate with my parents, I would be okay talking to my mom, but when I talked to my dad, I would start crying.
There you go.
But, so there was something going on, but I realized I created a protection to that, or that child created a protection during that time.
That's right. And you've used that protection for a long time now.
Okay.
And it's probably, I would say 99% likely, that you've protected yourself, you know, from other people, you know, using that same strategy and protected yourself from really being as close as you could be to yourself as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really looking forward to this exercise and everything that's revealed, and I've been thinking about it, but I just hold it with such a holiness about it, you know.
Right.
But that's the best way I can describe it, that I have to honor it with my precious time dedicated just to that focus. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'll see the wonderful results.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, let's hear from Nancy.
Hey, I had a great experience this week. I had a friend, and we went through the process together,
mm-hmm.
and we got to her emotional cause, and all of a sudden, I was extremely surprised, because as we went through it, I had experienced the same event.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, as she was processing, things started coming up inside me that I had not processed, and what turned into, you know, like a time with just her, we start processing together back and forth, and I was just wondering, does that happen often that while you're going, you know, through the process with someone, that your own emotions can come up?
It's likely to happen because you're attracting each other and you're both intending to go there, and it's no coincidence that your own things, your own stuff would come up.
Wow. It just surprised me.
Well, sure.
We processed together, and then we went ahead, you know, and then that evening she did some of her own processing, and I did. We actually spent 3 days together going through things, and it was powerful.
Yeah, you went on your own little retreat. That's fantastic.
Well, and it made me go, oh, my goodness, it actually gave me a vision of what it would be like to have actually, you know, like a weekend together processing, you know, with a few people.
I think that would be spectacular. I know I'm not the right person to lead that, but I think that if we had somebody who was, you know, appropriate, I think that would be an incredible retreat.
Oh, yeah. And I do have another question. The last time you spoke about anxiety being a free-floating emotion,
yeah.
My daughter has anxiety attacks. She's coming this weekend, and I know we're going to have some time together. Could you expound a little bit by what you mean by free emotion?
It's perhaps the most challenging of all emotional sets because it doesn't lend itself to language very well. And when you actually get to the root cause of it, you can deal with it more effectively. I would actually suggest using level 1 and level 2 quantum touch, and you can put your hands on the place where she feels the anxiety in her body, because the first step is to get out of the anxiety so you can do the processing about it. Because the anxiety is generally suppressed anger or hurt or fear that the person's not dealing with. It can be caused by unprecedented success. Could be, you know, fears of success, fears of visibility. It could be many. It could be all kinds of anger that the person doesn't want to deal with. It could be there's stuff inside there, but it's hard to deal with it when the anxiety is happening because you're in the middle of the storm and you can't get there from here. So what you need to do is help a person out of the storm, have them do some slow, deep breathing, and then you run the energy into the part of the body where the anxiety is, and that usually will take them out of it pretty quickly. Also work on their head, their brain, you know, and it just kind of melts the situation to a large extent. Then if you do the searching, you know, on some other issue, then you can find out what, because the anxiety, sometimes they know what the anxiety is about and sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just like, I feel anxious, but I don't know why. And other times it's very clear, yes, I've got this job interview or whatever it is, and I'm really scared or I'm afraid that I'm going to be rejected. There's all these kinds of emotions. But the bottom line is, it's still the same emotions. It's just a very unfortunate way of dealing with those emotions.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Definitely I'll do the level one and two. I'm looking forward to our time together. You know, as I go through this process with her.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Okay. Well, hold on 1 second. Okay. Nicola, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Richard and Devin from Jamaica.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for you, Richard. I have been working with someone, a woman in her mid-50s, who is facing great adversity financially, emotionally, in every way right now. And I believe this has brought to her or brought to the surface many emotional issues. So in our process of discovery, she went back to a time when her father died and she was 6. And what she expressed is great loss and fear. And of course, she was frightened. She was hurt. And most of all, she was really angry. Then her mother dies when she's 15. So obviously quite to have experienced the loss of both parents.
Yes.
In our conversation, when I asked her in her anger, you know, who she felt was responsible, because she was so angry about her father's death, she said, well, I don't really know who would be responsible.
Right.
I think it must be God. Because
right.
at
That's
six,
a fair answer. Yeah. Of course.
Is it? Okay. I wanted to, the reason I brought this up is because I want to be sure we're not going into the martyrhood situation.
The martyr.
And I just would like clarification.
This is very good. I'm glad you brought this up. The martyr is the one who's angry at God but never talks about it or deals with it or expresses the anger or releases it, but just feels that all the time and feels resentful and doesn't process it. You're not being a martyr if you say out loud, I'm feeling unappreciated, misunderstood, and I realize I'm being a martyr, so let me get to my real anger here and get it out of my system. That's not being a martyr. The martyr is the one who punishes you passive-aggressively mm-hmm. by not expressing their feelings and then just makes you feel like crap. That's
mm-hmm.
the martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Not the martyr isn't
mm-hmm.
the person who says, yes, I recognize I have this anger and I need to deal with it. That's being responsible.
Right. Okay, well, I'm glad that I encouraged her. I said, certainly. She said, can I be angry with God? That was her actual question to me. And I said to her, thinking about what you had said in relation to martyrhood, I said, exactly that. Of course you can.
Yes.
And I said, you know, let's go through the process, which we did. And we're not complete yet. I'm going back to her today. And I wanted to speak first about this before speaking to her again.
Sure.
There's a second part to this question. Can I help her to take a giant leap forward? She has a very controlling husband who has really diminished, almost eradicated her self-esteem to add injury to insult. And it's a very, very, very difficult situation, on top of which, as I explained earlier, there are financial issues,
sure.
All kinds of things. How would you suggest I take her?
Well, she needs to get in touch with her anger toward him and their situation, and then toward herself for not having dealt with it.
Herself.
And then she needs to go through the forgiveness, you know, because she could have changed her situation maybe 10 or 20 years ago. I don't know the details, of course, but a long time ago she could have changed it, and she hasn't, and she's lived with it, and she has been, in a sense, punishing herself.
For 30 years, and
yeah.
She is very angry about that. Use those very words. I could have done something about this 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was picking up, was I could have done this 15 years ago, and so she has a lot of self-forgiveness to do. And then she has to decide, do you want to spend the rest of your life being this unhappy?
Right.
You know, she has some big choices to make.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's hear from Annabelle.
Hi, Devin. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Since going through the process last weekend,
yeah.
I was a little worried that I had gone through it so quickly that it would kind of go away.
Yeah.
But what I found is that I've always been like a really an emotional sponge. And I just, like, pick up everybody else's stuff, and I've always kind of felt like there was just something wrong with me.
Right.
So carrying around all that shame that I couldn't even name.
Yeah.
And then letting it go, it just, I've been feeling so grounded and so inside myself and so able to protect myself from other people's energies in a way that I haven't ever been able to do, and I've continued to feel really inside myself and really grounded, really continue to have a sense of loving myself, of accepting myself, and it's been quite nice, and I feel like it's something that's going to continue to grow rather than something that's going to diminish over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to just make that comment that it's continued, and I feel that it's going to continue to grow and continue to protect me, and I'm really appreciative for that. Thank you,
well,
guys.
Well, thank you. What I also suggest is there's probably some residual little bits of shame here and there that you still want to keep getting out of your system. And continue going through the motions and just keep. You know, a little hint came up here. Well, that doesn't work for me. Out you go. You know, just keep the process going. In fact, if you need to spend a few minutes a day just dumping any shame you found during the day or whatever, just little bits of it, just it's like taking out the litter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just,
something else I wanted to mention was I've been working on my teeth, my crooked teeth, and a lot of different serendipitous things happened, but the main thing was, I didn't really believe that energy would move my teeth. Maybe if I had believed that, it would have, but I called a college here, and they're starting a new session, like, right now. And so I called them at exactly the right time to get in to get braces. So that was a little sort of serendipitous thing that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, let's hear from Lori.
Hi, is this me, Lori?
Hi.
Yep.
Okay, well, there were two last week, so I'm checking. I had a hard time finding my thing last week, and it led to the hernias, and then you went work me through. We realized it was like a marriage thing. due to life circumstances, I literally have not had, this is the first time I've been alone since that last conversation.
Okay.
So I've had like these mini process bouts where when I do get like a half a minute or I'm in the bathroom and I try to just deal or whatever, I've been crying a lot. It feels like things are releasing, et cetera. But what I guess I'm trying to ask is it okay to do it in little pieces? Because I literally have not had even a whole half hour to myself.
All right. Well, let's think about that for a minute. So you've noticed that even just doing a little bit here and there has increased your level.
Oh, it's definitely releasing.
Yeah. So you're really answering your own question that it is helping. It is helping, but it's certainly not all that you need to do about it, right?
Right.
So,
like, I really just want to go, you know, take a weekend and be like, bye, I'll be over here and talk to you. But that's not feasible in the world right now. So I guess what I'm wondering is it okay to do it in, like, little pieces like this until I get to a place where I do have some time and can fully go into a meditation without being bothered or harassed or whatever?
Yeah, so I think both are really helpful. Do what you can, and you see, your higher consciousness is speaking to you by giving you relief just by doing little bits. That is a message that you're getting. Ah, this is working. Of course, more would be better, but it's still working.
Yeah, like, it does seem to be working a bit, and I do believe more would be better, and I believe time will allow that soon. It just hasn't yet. I just want to make sure that was okay, because
Oh, it's very good.
I feel like part of me feels like because I haven't had the time and haven't had this huge one-time huge release, and I know you can do it over and over again, but that little release is at least we're like kind of on the right path.
Oh, you're definitely, the little release is you're on the path and just keep doing more.
All right, and let me just also ask you this. If I'm getting very, like, more emotional. I mean, I'm always emotional, but I'm more emotional than usual. Do you think this is also just part of the releasing process?
Of course.
Okay,
because
that's what I thought.
It's just showing you what's there, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, it's making me look at it, and that's, I think, why it's still a very much big situation, but it seems a little lighter.
And you might even find
10,000 pounds. Now it's like 8,000 pounds.
Okay. Well, what you'll find probably is that people in situations will reveal. They'll kind of trigger the stuff that hasn't been processed for you.
Ah, so if I'm getting emotional over something that doesn't seem relevant, there could be a trigger in that is too much.
Yeah, you know,
the moment.
Somebody
that makes so much sense.
Yeah, and so look at what the situations are that's triggering you. And those will be whispers and clues about things you haven't dealt with.
Okay. And then let me just ask you this. When you're doing this, because I've been trying to pay attention and listen, and you're having these little bits of breakthrough, like I explained, I thought maybe, you know, like I wasn't doing something right because I was getting emotional about other stuff, but you said the trigger makes perfect sense.
It's because you were doing it right that you're getting these triggers that are relevant to what you want to process.
That makes so much sense. It really does.
Good.
Okay. I'm writing the word triggers down with exclamation points. Okay, I think that's it for now. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Great.
It.
Okay, I don't see any hands raised at the moment.
Okay, well, who else would like to join this conversation? You're welcome to do so. Just press 1 and we'll talk to you.
Rebecca.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I had the realization that once I moved through the 7-step process of what was showing up as pain or discomfort, this week I also discovered in a memory of experiences I have had where I felt complete compassion for another human or an animal, that those memories, they were vivid. They actually happened. They came back to me. So I've noticed that the process allows for those moments, those positive moments then, to come forward. So then that's the deeper level that you're talking about for spiritual growth.
Wonderful.
Right? Is that okay? Because That was wonderful. That was just an awesome, awesome surprise. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because I could actually go back in time then and know and see who I was with, and those positive feelings were then able to come out. So I was wondering if anybody else had that.
Well, people are welcome to chime in and continue the conversation, but that's great. That's wonderful.
Good. Yeah, it's so refreshing.
I think the whole process is to help you be yourself. And what we are and who we are is much more than we ever imagined, because there's this thing I've heard of called the light shadow. Now, everybody talks about the dark shadow, you know, the ugly parts about yourself you don't want to experience, and how valuable that is. And that certainly is valuable, to deal with the dark shadow. However, there's this other thing that's lesser known, called the light shadow. And that's all the beautiful, amazing, incredible qualities that you have that you've dismissed and tried to forget about.
Right.
And so all the light shadow stuff will come back more and more.
Right.
As you deal with that.
I also had an experience yesterday with a stranger, and it was negative. And afterwards, as I was processing it, I realized that something that might, in comparison, would have triggered a lot of the negative emotions in me weren't there. So I took it as I did my best to act in kindness and compassion.
Right.
And stood my ground and set my boundaries. And I didn't have the physical sensations that I normally would have had.
Exactly. So
go ahead.
Yeah, you're in a new place.
Yeah. Yes. And it's really fun.
Well, great, great.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thanks for letting everybody know, too.
Okay, let's hear from Ruth.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience to Lori. I found I was able to kind of like do a different step each day,
mm-hmm.
and just found that when I kind of, it was interesting to see, like, you know, being in that wounded stage.
Right.
And then would kind of be like, all right, let's, you know, move on to insight. And it was just like, actually, it's, you know, I realized you can't kind of fake it till you make it, you know, like insight
right.
has to be insight.
Yeah.
And then it would just be like the next day, there'd still be, you know, like another hour of being wounded, you know, and that kind of ended up going on for a couple days, and just having, you know, I kind of had this feeling of, oh, I should be moving on with the process, but it, you know, it wasn't what was happening.
Right.
And then it was maybe like a couple days in that suddenly just, you know, driving in the car and boom, insight.
Oh.
You know, it was like, oh, like I kept being like, oh, I'm doing that to myself. And I was just like, no, that doesn't feel like it. And then, you know, suddenly having this thought and being like, that one I've been doing to myself. And then feeling that sense of liberation, you know, around true insight.
Yes.
And it was just interesting to just be like, you can't push the process. Like, you know when it resonates as right.
Great.
So then still kind of, you know, couldn't feel remorse, you know, had insight, and it was just like, you know, and then, you know, another 24 hours or whatever, and it was like, oh, no, now I actually really feel remorse about that.
Well, so, yeah, sounds like you're just taking it at your own pace and doing a good job with it.
Yeah, so that was interesting, you know, and I feel like what was really helpful to me was hearing, you know, from people who did it in one night, because I could hear the truth and how it felt for them. And so then to be able to just kind of watch it in myself and be like, okay, I hear that there's this real true liberation feeling, but just, it was interesting to see that, you know, the timing of it could really vary.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think that there is advantage, of course, to dealing with it, you know, more fully, but I think there could be advantage to not dealing with it all at once, in that it gives your subconscious time to bring everything up and to prepare you and to give you the time to really make this conscious change.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just the other thing that it's you know, it's more than just going through the steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a, you know, there's, it seemed like there's a feeling tone or a resonance to each of the steps that needs to be true in order kind of for the next one to arise.
Yeah, well, that's, you're right. It's the honesty, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes back to, is that you got to be fully real with yourself. That's why this process works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes, I'm back on the line again. I noticed when you were talking about anxiety, you said the phrase, run energy to the brain. Now, I haven't had level 2 yet, so I'm guessing that's a level 2.
It's a thing we do in the level 2. You can also read about it in the book, the new book, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human. And we talk about
it. I just ordered it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Good. That's why our Amazon rating is so high, because you just bought it.
Well, I hope so.
It's all you.
No, I'm sure it isn't.
Look,
but I was just curious, do you do kind of a sandwich with your hands technique?
No, we're not even needing to use our hands anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
We're able to do things about 3 to 5 times faster, and look, Ma, no hands.
Oh, good. Like distance healing.
Well, distance is whether you're standing next to them or they're across the world or on the other side of the moon. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But what I like to see is people using both 1 and 2, where they got their hands on and they're doing distance at once, kind of like the amplified resonance technique, but much more so.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
But use what you know, and it'll work.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet, sure. Okay.
Okay, Melissa?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
First of all, I just wanted to say thank you, because not only has this process released a whole lifetime of pain, but the quantum touch itself has just brought so much purpose to my life, and I owe a debt of gratitude to this whole thing. This quantum touch and this process has just been amazing to me. So thank you.
Thank you.
But so when I ran through the process on Saturday, I wanted to address my allergies. And it had come down to my father. And so when I ran through the process, I felt really good. I felt I had run through the whole process fully. Like I had come out of it feeling like relief, you know, feeling good, feeling self-love.
Yes.
But the next day on Sunday, I felt awful. I had so many physical symptoms, like my allergies were just going bonkers.
yeah.
So, and then I did it again during the week. So I have run through the process twice fully, and I felt I had actually gone from the beginning to anger, extreme anger, to the very end where I felt just light, like relief.
Yes, yes.
But the next day again, I had felt horrible. So what is that?
Okay, this is the first time I've heard this kind of reaction, so let's think about that. When you had the allergies come back again, what I've heard from other people is they look at the symptoms again and do some new thinking as if they're doing it for the first time and say, all right, what's different this time? What else needs to be there? Because you really did process the stuff that feels good now.
Yeah.
But there's probably another big piece or two that needs to be dealt with. And so if you look at, are the allergy symptoms a little different this time than they were last time, or are there other things that are coming to mind this time that didn't come to mind? Yeah.
I guess it is just a lifetime of, you know, it was kind of not one event, but many events. So I guess, okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to keep running through the process on different things.
Yeah, just keep processing it on everything you can find, one at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point, this should start really turning around. But, you know, here's the other thing about the self-created health. Even if the symptoms never actually changed, which I haven't heard yet,
mm-hmm.
you would be so much better off emotionally in terms of your happiness.
Well, that's just it. Like, I really felt at the end of the process that I had lifted a whole bunch of, but, yeah, you know, it's a lifetime of, so, yeah.
Exactly.
So I'll just keep running through the, everything I can think of, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Just keep working with it, and it will, it'll keep working for you. So you just got to stay with it.
Okay.
And keep looking for new insights, too. There may be something there that you hadn't looked at that will come up.
Yes. Yeah, great. I guess one memory sparks another memory. And
And then all of a sudden the big piece, oh, God, I didn't deal with that one at all, comes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, let's hear from Patricia.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Devin.
Hi.
Hello.
I want to thank you so much for this process because it gives me something tangible to work with.
Yes.
And so I really, really love this. Couple things. First of all, I, too, had to do the process step by step. So whenever I could find time, uninterrupted time to myself. And I first had difficulty getting the feeling the emotions intensely. So I really sat there and worked at it, you know, and tried to get it up. And then started getting remembrances of different situations in my life. And I began to see, like, the recurring theme going on with my parents and then with a certain aunt that I had problems with and, you know, different things, but they all contributed to showing me that, you know, there were things that I needed to work with, not necessarily what I had started out working with.
Yeah.
So this was great. And so I worked with what I was getting, and then I began to feel more like, hey, you know, this is what I really needed. But then I got to the forgiveness part.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, can I have a conversation with myself? And at first it was just a little awkward, but then it started to really feel like, wow, I am beginning to love myself, talking to myself, and I think I'm the only one who can really give love to myself to where it really changes me.
Yeah.
And I felt my heart open up, and interestingly, that is the very thing that I have been wanting to happen.
Wow.
So it was just great, and some of the things that I've been dealing with just recently, I felt like now I can face them because and approach them in a different manner because my heart is open. And I've been remembering that any time I get into, say, a confrontational situation, I shut down. So I was closing my heart, I wasn't expressing myself, and I just withdraw. And now I feel like I don't need to do that anymore. So
yeah.
it was very
beautiful. Wow, great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh.
And then the other thing is, I go to an exercise class several times a week, and there's this woman in my class who has pain in her neck and shoulder. And they approached her, and she told me she was in an auto accident, a really bad one, a number of years ago. And she's been going to acupuncture and chiropractic and, you know, just getting all kinds of therapy, but no energy work. And her doctors have told her it's never going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think there's always hope.
Sure.
And I offered to work on her. But can you give me some caution, because I don't want to give her...
I don't really have any caution.
Okay.
I just
okay.
say, you know, use what you know with Quantum Touch, Self-Created Health, and it's quite possible that you'll see things she'll see things happening that she couldn't have anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my students came up with the word normical, which is when the miracles happen so regularly, you know, what do we call them? They're not miracles. If they happen every day, then they're normal miracles, normicals, right?
Right.
So be prepared that things could happen that are wonderful and unexpected.
Okay. I told her with energy work, you never know, and it could be that she's been emotionally blocking
mm-hmm.
something and blocking the energy, and that's why she's feeling the pain, and she doesn't want to lift her arm or anything. She just kind of hangs on to it.
Wow.
While her feet are moving.
Yeah, so look how she's, you know, when you get to know her better, if she wants to, look how she's hanging on. Look how she's protecting herself. Because, look, she's holding on to her arm to protect it, right?
Yeah.
So there's a protection thing happening here.
Yeah, and I think that accident must have been so traumatic that, you know, she's not been able to release the emotions that she felt.
Yeah.
As a result of it. So,
sure.
And she was very open. Once I explained to her what energy work was, and I told her, go to the Quantum Touch site and read some of the, you know, some of the healing stories. So she would. And so when classes start up again, we're going to take a little time after class. And she said she was fine with letting me work on it. So I'm excited.
Okay, well, keep going, and I expect to hear good things.
Okay, I hope I have something to share.
Great. I think you may.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, Carrie?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
So I'm really enjoying this work and finding it to reach into some really profound places in me, but I noticed something this morning that was kind of unexpected, and I kind of had to laugh at, but I've been working ongoing here for several days through a really big issue that has been huge and all my life. And so this morning as I was wandering around the kitchen, I heard my mind sort of wandering off into this argument about how I don't have the right to step out of this pattern.
Wow.
You know, there's the,
okay.
I did this to myself, and so I have the choice to not do this to myself anymore. And so, you know, I've gone through this process several times with pieces of this, but I hear myself, you know, making all these arguments that, no, you can't.
Okay,
you can't
so hold
stop.
On. Hold on a second. Who's that mm-hmm. voice? Who's telling you can't? You don't have the right?
You know, I've heard negative ego, and that's kind of what
but was there somebody else who would have said that to you?
Yeah.
Who would that
be?
Yeah,
definitely. You know, both parents and the religion I grew up in, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. You got three targets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You got three to express it. No, I do have the right, and I'm really angry at you for telling me I don't.
Right.
That really hurt me a lot.
Yeah.
You can take that message and shove it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's so interesting to see how deeply I've internalized
right.
my lack of power, you know, the taking away of power.
Sure.
And this is just, it's really an extraordinary tool for taking that back.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And it was nice to hear that conversation in my head and be able to just sort of smile and know that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we're done and you and I are going to have this out until we're done with it. But, you know, just kind of I hear that and I don't have to live it anymore.
Beautiful, so, beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Barry.
Yes, I had an interesting kind of response to the process around steps 4 and 5, where I was processing something about kind of holding myself back, in essence, long story short, kind of underemployed, not using my skills and abilities as much as I would like to and so forth. And what happened was, is when I got through the remorse, then it was hard for me to go to forgiveness because my mind automatically wanted to take action. I
yeah.
wanted to change it, all right? So I started thinking about, okay, so here's what I can do. Here's where I, you know, things to actually start making physical changes in my work and my job and so forth. And that's
yeah.
kind of where my mind went. And I don't know if that's avoidance of forgiveness or if that's a natural reaction, because it was really hard to get to the forgiveness step because I was just into, here's how I'm going to change it.
Well, you know, change is a really powerful, wonderful thing. I'm not going to knock it. And then at the same time, you know, that could be part of your process of forgiving. You know, the old men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing, that the men want to just fix the problem and the women want to discuss it and deal with it. You
right,
know?
I know.
And so,
I know.
So it could be a very masculine approach to it. So I'm kind of the opinion, based on what I'm feeling from you and what I'm hearing, that check it out, see how it works. If it works and you're done, great. If it doesn't, go through, definitely do the forgiveness, because maybe
right.
that's part of your way of dealing with it, is saying, okay, I'm just going to change this. You know, maybe the forgiveness is implied in the fact that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done with that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
it feels that way to me.
Yeah, it could be.
At least this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the rule of thumb is, if you think you handled something without finishing a process, let the reality be the arbiter of whether or not it's true. So
okay.
if you think you processed something and your reality is different, I guess you did. If you think you processed something and the reality is exactly the same, I guess you didn't.
True. Okay.
So there's no judgment here. It's just, you know, what's useful to you.
Right. Okay. Thanks. I agree.
Great.
Thank you.
You bet.
Let's hear from Sally. Go ahead, Sally.
Yes. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
I really have liked the extra notes where you would just, it looks like you'd excerpt of various lines and thoughts from the workshop you did much earlier. And I would love to have access to more of those because I found them very thought-provoking and helpful. There was one of them, there was one that I didn't take to mean as permanent, but I'm going to check it out with you because what I'm dealing with is anger, but mine is unexpressed anger, and that's where it's shown up in health issues.
Exactly.
Your comment was, we build identity over old anger. It's a challenge to let it go, which I agree with. It says, release never feels like it's fully done, no matter how much release you do, it will never be enough, never feel enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's true, but I didn't like quite the permanence of that sort of statement.
It's just that, let me just kind of clarify that. Maybe I'm not always the most artistic and accurate in the way I say things, so
uh-huh.
So I have to have editors help me out a lot. But the deal is this. Somebody stepped on your toe when you were 8 years old, and that really upset you because he did it on purpose. Okay, you have a right to be angry. And you could be angry for the rest of your life about that because it really did happen to you and it really did hurt, and they were mean. Okay, that's just a crazy example. The point of it is that no matter how much you express that anger, some people will feel like you could always drudge it up again and you could always feel it some more. And that's true, you could. In fact, I had experiences when I was in my, I was like 22 years old, and I was in this encounter group, and people would just keep talking about the same emotions week after week, month after month. I was there for 2 years doing this process because I wanted to have a lot of emotional training early on. And I saw that people were rewarded for having a lot of emotional expression. The people who were just happy got no reward at all for the group. The group really supported people having their pain and problems. So the possibility of holding on to an emotion for the rest of your life is something that most of the population has already done, and they've proven it because they just keep feeling it and feeling it. Most people don't talk about those feelings, but they're still feeling it. To be able to process and release it to the maximum of your ability so you didn't suppress it, you really do have access to those emotions, you do really let yourself feel what's there, that is very important and powerful as well as necessary. But if you don't let it go at some point, then it'll always be available. But if you process it and do forgiveness with it, then you're really more ready to let it go. So realize you could hold on to it forever. You have every right to. They really did harm you. But after you've given yourself permission to have the full emotional expression, then take responsibility and move on. And then you don't have to keep bringing it up. You don't have to rely on it. You see, one of the things that happens is when somebody hurts you, it's very just like a deer that got chased by a lion and escaped. It's very important for you to remember what they did so you can act appropriately with them. Do I trust this person? Is it safe here? Do I feel we can be, you know, or do I have to create some distance and have protection around the situation? So it's necessary to remember all the stuff that happened so you can deal with it appropriately. But if you actually process the emotion, then it's okay to let it go, and you don't have to think about it anymore. But you need to take responsibility in part of that process, and part of that process is going through the responsibility, the remorse, the forgiveness, and become new. Then you really don't have to go there anymore, do you?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I felt like you meant, but I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And I worked, I think I said last time, that I got in touch last time with the fact that anger, it can be an appropriate survival tool for a child. And so one of the things I did was I did the process again with using anger as the current symptom. And then so it was like I started out with anger and when did it begin, and I looked back and probably I thought from the time I was born. And as I got down to the part of the process where you're looking back, let's see, what is it? I've forgotten exactly how it's expressed, but it's like if you go back to the time around the time of, then what I did was I realized that there aren't things I necessarily remember, but they were stories that I was told.
Okay.
Like the fact that my mother, that I was crying all the time. Mother was trying to breastfeed me but didn't have enough milk and I was hungry. And so I was, you know, there was crying. And
yeah.
It went on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I went back to some family stories I had heard from when I was, I was young, and then I heard the stories about the time when I was little. And what I sort of have been coming up with, I've always thought that fear is on the other side of the coin of anger, and that there may be the anger covering up fear of vulnerability, that you hold on to the anger as protection.
Because it can be.
It's easier and safer to be angry than to be vulnerable. So my thought now is to take these early stories and sort of go back and work with them one at a time. Does that sound like a good idea?
I think the exploration is always worthwhile.
Uh-huh.
And I think your guidance will take you where you need to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I hope in the future you continue to add these little tidbit lines that get us thinking and that we can work with.
Well,
and
I'm sure
that you continue to share them with us.
I'm sure by the time my self-created health book comes out, whenever that is, I will have got so many little bits and pieces that I will accumulate from many of these workshops that it'll be much more complete.
Well, that's great, and I look forward to it. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you, yeah.
Okay, Nancy?
Yeah, I was thinking about when you were talking about the light shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a real tenseness in my body as of late, and so I did some processing, and I was at my mother's the other day, and she's 91, and I care for her needs. She doesn't live with me or anything, but, you know, making sure everything's okay, and I noticed she handed me some money, and she said, here, take this and treat yourself. And the minute that she did that, I felt such a tenseness in my body, like I was dismissing. And all of a sudden, the realization, that insight of, oh, my goodness, this is the same feeling as what I've been feeling for a while. And when I came to that recognition, all of a sudden, I just made a choice to accept what she wanted to give me. And when I did, I felt my body relax. And it was like I was just in such insight at that moment. And then I just, you know, asked myself, wow, where else am I dismissing, you know, that? And, you know, when you said the beautiful qualities that we've dismissed about ourselves,
right?
That just rang so true. And I know I'm not through processing yet.
That's fantastic, you know, but you're going in the right direction. That's what matters.
Yeah, well, it was just, you know, being able to realize, oh, this is the same sensation. It's kind of like reality was mirroring, giving me an opportunity to look in the mirror. I did have another question. Under each step, you have certain techniques. I was wondering, what was the reason in choosing those, and is it because generally you found that those were the best techniques, or are there other techniques that could be added under each step?
Well, only under the release steps do I really feel that there's other techniques that may be highly useful.
Okay.
But the discovery step, I don't know anything anywhere near as good as that one. The release, there may be other techniques that can be used. I know there's some very good gestalt things where people are yelling at chairs and hitting each other and doing all kinds of stuff. There's many release techniques that can be out there, but these are the most effective ones that I know. The insight, this is very similar to what Byron Katie does. But the problem I see the Byron Katie is that it doesn't go into the release and it doesn't necessarily go through the forgiveness. It's just kind of like insight to be different. You know, it's not integrated. So instead of having the discovery and the release and the self-responsibility, it just jumps from insight to now you're different, which I don't find very complete. The remorse, I don't hear anybody talking about that one. And the forgiveness, I think this is the most powerful forgiveness technique I've ever encountered by far. And I've tried many of them, and I had to invent my own because I couldn't access a deeper level of forgiveness without using this technique. I had to make it up in order to find it. I wanted to go real deep inside myself, and this was the one that was the best. So, yeah, you can look around for other release techniques and see what you can find, but this is my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, that's as far as the process and all the steps, I've not experienced anything that is so concise, so clear, so quick, and so thorough.
Sort of how I feel about it, too. Yeah. But I'm really glad you're enjoying it. Sure.
Oh, listen, I am. It's like I have this burning desire and passion that I want to just keep going inside me more as well as share it with others.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Lori.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm familiar with Byron Katie's work, The Work. and I liked what she had to say, but I agree that she skipped some of the pieces, which kind of what leaves you hanging. I thought it was interesting because I was thinking about this, and this is what was my question. And her part of her, The Work, is who would you be without your story?
Yes.
And a lot of people get so latched on to their story, myself included, I'm not discounting myself at all, that it's very scary to, like, leap into the unknown because your story is gone, what do you talk about kind of a thing, and I understand that. But what I was wondering is if you have somebody that is so latched onto their story and you're trying to work with them and you're just trying to tell them things like, well, aren't you tired of this pain? Maybe you want to get rid of it? Let's try this. And they're just like, no. Do you have any suggestions on what you could say to someone to try to get them to see it a different way? So
I think
become more receptive. Because I understand if someone's not up to doing the work and going deep, they're not going to. And you can't force someone to do that.
No, I think that if they've gone through the forgiveness step and they've hit the self-love, they are someone without the story at that point.
Yes, I agree. No, I totally agree as far as your... Yes, if we do these steps, we end up without that story. Which is
because otherwise it becomes more of an intellectual process. Who would you be without your story? And it's a very good question. I think it's an excellent question, actually. But I think that the truth is that we really are that person once you get rid of, once you've processed the emotional stuff out.
Right. Because you do the change. You physically change.
Yeah, you've already moved into the vibration of change. Yeah, sure.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to say is I wanted to confirm something you said about reality. You said if you think you process something, but reality doesn't change, then you didn't process it and go back and do it again. But if reality changes, then you did process something. Is that what you actually said?
Well, I think the reality will be the ultimate arbiter and reflection of how well we've done the processing. So
it shows us.
Yeah, it will show up, and it doesn't have to do it that minute or that day. It could be like days or a week or two, but it will start shifting if you get it right.
Right. So I'm saying when you have it right, your reality will show you you're doing it right. But if nothing changes, then you're not doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then I wrote down one other thing. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say is, I think it was Rebecca, but I'm not sure because there's a lot of people and no faces. But I think it was Rebecca who said about the compassion thing, and that's what I've noticed the most over the past week is more compassion from me to me as well as to the people I interact with, whether I know them or not.
Yes.
I just feel like I can see things from the other person's point of view better than I used to be able to just in this week.
Yeah.
I feel like I have more compassion for people because of whatever bit of processing I have done. So I just wanted to mention that the compassion that's been brought up in me for myself and others is amazing.
And
I never knew I could have so much like feeling and empathy for someone I never don't even know. I just see their
you see,
feet, you know, like on the
I really believe that compassion is the mark of spiritual evolution. Because you look at the animal kingdom and you see that elephants and dogs and cats and chimpanzees and dolphins and even rats to some extent all have the ability to exhibit some compassion. Whales, dolphins. But the evolution of humans is compassion. The evolution of all spirituality and hopefully religion is the development of compassion. I think our whole political arena should be assessed by how compassionate we are, not by the policies or the ideologies. And I think the spiritual evolution is measured by compassion. And so that would make this work a function of greater spiritual evolution.
That makes sense. And with compassion, I assume, like, right there comes along, like, love and gratitude.
Exactly, because they're all tied together. Because when you get honest with yourself emotionally and you're actually dealing with the real issues processing them responsibly, of course compassion is what you feel. It's not like you got to be told a rule book and say, okay, now you should feel compassion. No, it's just what happens.
It just comes.
Yeah, it's who you are. It's your nature to be and do that. No one has to tell you. You know, love each other, be nice to each other, and treat each other like you want to be treated. You don't have to be told that stuff. It is who you are.
Yeah, I think this week has helped me remember that.
Excellent. Beautiful.
So thank you very much for this teleseminar. It's very appreciated.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, do we have anybody else?
Okay, I think right now we don't have anybody with their hand raised. So I really do appreciate this format because people didn't have to get on airplanes, they didn't have to stay at hotels, and we can all just get the information without having to do all that extra work. Okay, we have Miriam.
Okay, Miriam, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, hi. I was just wondering, we're talking about how the body is talking to you by its condition.
Yes.
And then I was thinking about the quantum touch work. Mm-hmm. Where does that fit in? Because we have this training to...
Well, they both work together in certain areas. They both work independently as well. So the quantum touch is really good for relieving the symptoms and accelerating the healing process. But you'll see some of the time quantum touch is just not what the doctor ordered. It's not going to be enough. And then you really need to go into the emotional side of things. There are crossover points where we can use both of the techniques together. And I've really got to start taking notes when I discover them because I haven't written them down. I don't remember them real well. But there are times when the quantum touch really helps the self-created health or where self-created health really helps the quantum touch, and they can work together. But right now, they're still pretty much independent modalities. And if people have insights about linking the two together, please call in and talk about it because although this isn't a quantum touch call, a few minutes to that subject I'm sure would help a lot of people here.
Okay. I see what you mean, but I feel like when I'm doing quantum touch on somebody's body, it's like saying to the body, you just shut up.
No, it's not shut up. It's just, here, I'm giving you extra energy so you can do the healing yourself more quickly. So when somebody burns their hand and you do the quantum touch, you know, the hand can heal really quickly. But at some point, they may want to understand why they burned their hand. And
okay,
then you can help. So you can relieve the symptoms with quantum touch, and then you can help them find the emotional causes, and then they can heal their life.
Yeah, but I'm sort of afraid that if you take away the symptoms, the urge to heal what is underneath it won't be that great, that big.
I'm sure their reality will keep reminding them if you did. You know, there's enough going on. So for instance, if somebody has a major issue going on, well, let me tell you, put it a different way. If it's vital for them to process their emotions, the energy won't work. So I knew a woman who had sciatic pain so bad she would not be able to go to sleep and she'd cry during the night. It would hurt her so bad. And I gave her about 5 minutes of quantum touch, and it didn't do anything for her at all. After 5 minutes, I had no interest in doing quantum touch. All I wanted to do was help her find emotional cause, and I did. Took another 5 minutes to figure it out, another 10 minutes to give her some homework, and she slept like a baby ever since. She did her homework and she processed it. Oh, that's what it is. Here, go here and do this emotional release stuff. And she did, and her pain went away and it was done. So quantum touch is like the first line. And then the other thing is most people don't want to take that level of responsibility. They don't want to have to feel that much. And so when you talk about emotional cause, they would rather be somewhere else doing something else than listening to you. So I find it very helpful to work with the tools that are before me with the people who want what I have to give them.
Okay, I can relate to that, but I'm still feeling like you're taking away their possibility to really evolve.
I think that's maybe a little
I'm struggling with it.
I understand. I think that might be a little harsh, but there is truth in what you're saying. I'm not taking away their ability to evolve, maybe delaying it, or maybe another way is I'm giving them relief and hope. And when they're ready to do the emotional process work, it's here for them. But like I've said, the self-created health is my most profound work. It's the most profound teaching that I have.
Yes, I can see that. It's really great. But it's just something I'm struggling with myself.
Yeah.
When I do quantum touch, I really love it, and I see it as a first step for everybody to get in touch with something that is different.
Yeah.
And open their minds. So I see it like that. But I noticed a couple of times somebody's elbow was really good, and then they fell on it, you know? And then I thought,
mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, this is not as much my fault, but is it something, was it a good thing that I try to help them healing their elbow?
Yeah, but here's the thing. People, this is actually known, and it's in the literature, that people will break the same leg repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
That people will continue to remind themselves over and over and over again. And so what I find is that if you did the work, see, most of the sessions that I do with Quantum Touch, that's just what they needed, and it's done. But when it isn't enough, that's when I really encourage people to look at the emotional process. So the autistic child who stood on the metal plate and couldn't figure out why his feet were burning and burned his feet, you know, then the emotional process wouldn't even help in that situation because he couldn't talk to the child. But when the child took a nap and dad ran energy into the boy's feet, when he woke up, he was able to walk on his feet perfectly fine afterwards because it took the burn away. So both tools are valuable. But what we need to do, and what I want your help with, is to understand the balance and the integration of the two. Because they're both incredible tools, and the new human creates whole new opportunities for human beings to discover new skills and abilities we didn't even know we had. But bottom line is, we need to process the emotions behind it all. So, yeah, I think the whole thing is kind of mysterious for me too, and so it's something I'm working with as well, trying to understand.
Okay, because I really do agree with you. That's why I asked this question.
It's a very good one too.
Okay.
It's an extremely good question. I'm asking myself all the time.
Okay.
But I don't feel like it's depriving somebody of their spiritual growth. I just think that it's part of the process that we're all learning how, you know, if somebody falls down and if you can take the pain off their knee, that's great. But then when they're ready, maybe this is the balance. If somebody gets hit by a truck, the meanest thing you could do is say, so why did you choose to get hit by the truck? Right? First, you want to bandage the wound. You want to use quantum touch. You want to take the pain away. You want to help them heal. And then, you know, whether it was a truck, a rape, or whatever it was, you say, all right, months later, are you feeling up to looking at emotional causes? Is this something you'd like to do? And they say, yeah, I'm really ready to do that now. Okay, great. But you don't hit somebody with emotional cause. Well, why did you choose me to be late picking you up to take you to the airport? Why did you create that, huh? That's punch in the nose time, you know? That's mean. That's using responsibility as a club to beat them up. That's not kind. So, first step, heal the damage, take away the wounds, help the person feel nurtured and loved. Then when they're ready, let's find emotional cause.
Okay.
So I think that's a good balance.
It is, but I'm afraid they won't come back.
Well, maybe that's your fear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You bet, thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Sue.
Hi, this is Sue. I'm really, really enjoying this program. I found you only a little over a week ago.
Wow.
I've packed in so much learning. It's unbelievable, but so many insights. I can't even begin to start. But there's one thing that is that's very important to me right now. When I was about 3 and a half, my mother was going through a very, very distressing time, and she was almost unreachable to me at that time. And what I did, because I was left alone with her all day, I tried to suck the pain out of her.
Wow.
And I stayed in that energy for, it must have been at least weeks and weeks. It seems like it was for years, but, you know, I mean, time is very different when you're three. But I very much got over that, but until I got back into starting this work again. And then my husband had news of that he does have cancer this week. He had just a few days ago, and we both have been looking at all of the alternatives and that sort of thing. And, of course, he wants me to work with him with this work, and I very much want to do it. I'm concerned, and I was already thinking about this, that as my ability to work with other people and help other people with emotional things, if I'm finding that if it's very emotional for me, if I really get into, like I did with my mother, I mean, it seemed like life and death, that if she didn't get a little bit better, I was not going to have a mother, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, she kind of went away from me when I was about 6 months old. I mean, I don't have a feeling before that of bonding with her, but strong before that. Very strong before that. So it seems like something that I want to get back to. So I'm working with that. But I how do you, you've probably come across other people that instead of, you know, I haven't had enough chance to get really experienced with level one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that when I run that process, that I'm going to have some issues with this, especially with dealing with things that are very emotional, that I'm going to try, rather than running the energy into the person, I'm going to try to suck the pain out. Because I've already started down that a couple times and stopped myself.
We have an online video workshop for Quantum Touch that you can watch. And it'll show you how to raise your vibration almost immediately. Within an hour or two, you'll be able to do that. And so you don't have to worry about coming down to his level. And the emotional process work of the self-created health is not your ability. It's his ability to be willing to feel emotion. And it's really easy to find emotional cause, especially if there's a big, important symptom going on that could be life-threatening. It's much easier to find it then than it is at other times. Plus, we've got a whole board full of people who might be wanting to help out also. And to both in terms of quantum touch and in terms of the emotional process work from this call. So there's a lot of resources for you.
Okay, sounds great. I'm going to take level one live in April.
Fantastic. That's really good. You'll love it.
Right, in Colorado. One other. So I think that'll be fabulous. So it's really only a few weeks from now.
Is that Vicky?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's kind of like right down the street from me. Perfect. It's unbelievable. I had another comment and question too. I can't believe how close my story is to Carrie's. Carrie was talking about the fact that she had an extensive workshop and that she came out of it with a lot of stuff that was pulled up, but it had not been released. They were not able to help her work through the process like you have to completely get rid of it, and that she has vertigo. And that exact same thing happened to me, except that I now have vertigo for 3 years. And the incident was 3 years ago, and I know that it is coming from that, but it was the way I responded to the emotional and physical thing happening together was to think, you know, I've got to do energy work on this. You know, I want to hit it right when it's happening so that this doesn't become permanently embedded. So I started working with an EFT practitioner. I was not in a space of allowing. I was like hammering it, you know. I was like beating on myself with EFT, and it just kept getting worse. And finally, after 5 months, I was so exhausted that I just said, you know, we've got to take a break. I've got to try something else. And I stayed in prayer for weeks at a time back then. And then I found the healing code that helped me a little bit with, you know, relaxation rather than hammering myself with gouging it out. You know, I think that's like emotionally what I was trying to do. I was trying to get this out of myself, because that's what had always been expected of me as a child.
It's interesting how we go back to old strategies, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And my mother is the martyr. I was raised by a martyr, a very strong one. And she tried to make me responsible for her happiness. And so we're still dealing with those issues. She's 91. But that was the first big turnaround this week also, that I did so much processing and understanding of the fact that she is a martyr, and I forgave myself for being not able to help her, you know, when I was a child, not able to fix her. I forgave myself for that, and I called her 2 days later, and she is a totally different person. I could feel that I was a different person right away, but now when I call her, she's a different person. No more blame, no more shame, no more...
Oh, isn't that interesting? You,
nobody can ever do enough for me, you know, just none of that.
So you processed your emotion, and now you are not having her respond that way to you.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It's unbelievable, but I didn't see before that I was doing anything to push her buttons. I mean, there's no reason... If I'm actually going to have a conversation with her, there's no reason to try to bring that out in her. You know, I know what to say and what not to say, but I'm always walking on, I have been in the past, always walking on eggs.
Yeah.
Because she just, she, you know, like my brother says, my brother just said, well, don't forget she can't be trusted, you know, and I said, ooh, boy, that just went through me, you know, that just gave me chills. But just unbelievable difference in, you know, in just a couple days. So I really look forward to this. But I wonder if you have had any, are there any patterns of people, of things that people go through in their childhood and then illnesses that they have later on in life because of the challenges that they've had?
Of course. That's usually what the challenges are, is the stuff that's from childhood that got repeated in adolescence and young adulthood and through their relationships and their job and everything else that are being expressed today. That's why people have the problems, because it all is coming through that way.
Well, yeah, I understand. I'm just wondering about the about Carrie and the vertigo, and that why when we bring stuff up, I did it with EFT. I'm not sure what method she used, but she was in a workshop, and I just finished up a workshop too, where they brought up a whole lot of stuff, and it was not. We didn't have time to release it, and they used it to try to get us into a high-priced program of their coaching, and it was very effective. You know, a lot of people in tears, with feeling that pain, and it seemed very, very cruel. And so I understand from a personal point of view how important it is what you're saying about don't start with that step three. You've got to go through.
It's just mean.
Yeah, it is.
It's mean. And here's the thing. Now that you understand the process, you can really see what people are doing. And you can see how messed up most of the emotional processes are because they skip the steps. They always seem to skip some or most of the steps. And it just won't work, will it?
No, I see that. I've used a lot of different kinds of energy work, and it's just exactly what you're saying. There's just a lot of steps missing.
Yeah, and a lot of people, it's really kind of almost, it wasn't so sad, it would be entertaining. You go, oh, look, they skipped steps one and two, they jumped to step three, then they jumped to step four and five, and they went to step six, and all of a sudden you say, wow, how'd you do that? Or it just went from step one to step five, and it's just crazy that, you know, especially when they start at step three, that is just mean. That's really cruel.
Yeah, and I did that to myself. I started out with EFT kind of demanding that of myself that I fix this, and kind of giving myself time frames and saying, you know, I want to get on to this, and I want to do this, and this with my life, and I can't afford to be sick, and this is really foolish.
Exactly.
And just
that's called growth by beating yourself up.
Yes,
right.
That's
a pretty interesting approach to growth. Let's see. I'll just beat myself up, and then I'll be healthy. Yeah, that's great. There's an old adage.
Okay.
That says the process of getting there are the experiences of being there, or the steps of getting there are the experiences of being there. So if you want to know what it's like to be somewhere, that's how it should feel getting there. So nurturing, healing, compassion, all these should be part of the process. If that's where you want to end up, then the whole process should be compassionate.
Yeah. Well, and the first time in my life, I feel like I can get there now, because I haven't, you know, just like you say, when you haven't been given it in your childhood, it's very difficult to give it to yourself later on. I just cannot really have that compassion for myself.
I hear you.
So I look forward to this. I don't think I'm ever going to stop doing this the rest of my life. It is just, there's so much exciting stuff, and I can't wait to. I can't wait to do it with myself, and I can't wait to do it with other people.
Well, and I'll tell you, you're about to embark on an amazing adventure with Quantum Touch as well, because it's going to show you things you never thought possible. And the two of you together are just incredible.
I really look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, let's hear from Carrie.
Hi again. I just wanted to comment to each of the last two speakers. As you were talking about, I forget everyone's names, I'm sorry.
Sure.
As you were talking about your fear of losing yourself with the boundaries issue when you are going into working with someone with emotional pain. I'm really a loose boundaries person myself, too, and I have found that QT2 is brilliant for that. I find that QT2, just the filling yourself with love,
mm-hmm.
it does
yeah.
so much to really protect you from taking anything on.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked... Yeah. Sorry?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I've worked with QT1 as well, and I, you know, I love it. It's wonderful, but I find that my boundaries stay a little bit more fluid than I'm comfortable with in that. But really, the QT2 is absolutely brilliant for me for boundaries. So that is awesome. And then I wanted to also talk to the question earlier about when you're, you know, using QT with somebody, you're taking away their opportunity for evolution.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I got sick with a chronic fatigue like 5 years ago, and I started out in the whole thing with the basic, you know, Western medicine mentality
yeah.
that you go to a doctor and they fix you, and
yeah, right.
you know, I'm dependent on the doctor to fix me, and you know, we went through doctors and doctors and doctors, and nothing was happening, and I kept getting sicker, and so it took me, you know, a really long time to sort of turn this Titanic around, to realize that nobody can fix me. Nobody, you know, it's not even possible for somebody to fix me. And it took me a year of working with, you know, an absolutely brilliant and generous energy worker before I was finally able to see that, yes, I'm doing this. You know, this is internal. This is me. And, you know, finally get my head around the idea that healing has to come from inside. And
yeah.
so any of these opportunities where you have the chance to introduce someone to a different approach, you know, to something that is, you know, I think of as kinder
yeah.
And more personal responsibility focused, we take a long time to change our minds about what's possible. And so, you know, I think it's all an opportunity for each of us to get a better grip on who we are and who we can be.
Thank you. I really appreciate that insight.
It has been quite a journey. But yeah.
Yeah, and we're just getting started.
Right. And there's so much that's possible. It's incredible to even think about what can be possible with this.
And now that you know level two, the doors are open again in a whole new way.
Yeah. Oh, level two is brilliant. Level two is like coming home. Oh, my gosh, I love level two.
Yeah, and so maybe you can help us figure out connections and insights between self-created health and quantum touch, because...
Yeah, I actually run level two while I'm releasing emotions nonstop.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. I know there's
yeah.
classic connections. It's just that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because I came up with the big stuff doesn't mean I'll figure out all the other things that go along with it.
Yeah, it's amazing how well that softens the blow, you know, the depths of all that emotion. And it really helps you usher you into the depths. It's really holding your hand as you go through all that really
that's
hard
sweet.
Work.
I
yeah.
like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that's all I had to say. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, and let's hear from Teresa.
Yeah, I'll skip mine because it had to do with a couple of calls back, and the last caller actually addressed some of it. with respect to the quantum touch and maybe taking away the opportunity of a person for evolution. But for me, it was just a reminder about when we're doing the work, we're detached from the outcome.
Yes.
And it's that strong feeling of if a person is hungry, you need to feed them before you go into introducing anything else. But I think the last caller kind of touched upon, you know, some of that. So that's it.
Well,
so
thank you.
I won't go into it because it was, like I said, it from a couple of calls back. So thanks.
Thank you. Wow. This is great stuff.
Okay, let's hear from Lori.
Hi again, guys.
Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say that, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I just recently took the live Quantum Touch 1 in Key West, Florida, and it was incredible. But something I had done was I had gotten the online thing, the videos package,
yeah,
or whatever, and I had watched it for about 6 months before I finally found a place. I was getting to get in Orlando, and then one popped up even closer, and I was thrilled with that. And I just took it, and it was awesome. Two of us there had taken it online, and two had just read the book or wanted to continue and read the book. So we all had different experiences. But what I would really highly recommend to anyone that's going to take the QT1 Live and eventually QT2, taking the video session first,
yeah,
really helped me. Because when I got to the QT1 Live session,
right,
I knew the general gist. And
yeah,
I had an idea. So they helped me refine, like, my breathing techniques.
Mm,
and, like,
nice,
the fire breath I wasn't doing quite right. And they refined it with me and kind of explained it more to my person so I
right,
didn't really get it. But seeing it on video and then doing live, I got so much more out of. I think if I had just gone in live, I would have been more, even with reading the book eons ago, I would have not gotten as much out of it. I felt like I had my experience online, and then I got to have group experience with live teachers that really explained the parts I didn't get from online in the book.
Excellent.
So I just want to throw it out there that anyone that's interested in taking it live might want to really think about doing the video thing. But I just kept doing it. Like, I'd watch it, the whole thing, you know, the first session, then part two, part three, part four. Then I'd ingest, then I'd go back and watch one again and watch two again. And add, like, 6 months, I did it just over and over and over whenever I had the time. And because it's such short segments, it was very helpful. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
But the, having it, you know, video-wise gave me the real info, and then going live, like, showed me how. So just for anyone out there that's going to be taking it live, I just thought maybe they should just know that the video is very helpful. Like, the read the book, then do the video, then go to the live thing. And
hey,
you get a full experience.
Thank you so much for letting everybody know that.
Yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Okay, Nicola.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Nicola? Maybe not. She had her hand up. Okay, is there anybody else until we hear from Nicola?
You know, one of the things about this workshop is that, you know, and I've taught this as a teleseminar now. I think this is, what is it, like the fourth time now, Devin, or maybe the fifth or something like that?
Yeah, it might be the fifth.
Might be the fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful that people get to own this material. It gets to be their workshop. They can do it themselves. They don't have to say, oh, I don't have to have lots of questions. And the fact that we're not getting a ton of questions, I think, is a really good thing, because it really means that people are owning it, that it's become their own. And I think one time we actually ended early just because people didn't have a lot of questions anymore. They had reached a point of comfort with the work, which I think is a good thing. But this is your time, so please use it to the best of your advantage. So what I'd like to say. If anybody else wants to chat about, you know, discoveries, concerns, questions, insights, successes, whatever, it's all good.
Okay, we have Shannon.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask what is maybe the best way to get people to
bypass what they believe is the physical cause, you know, when you're trying to do the discovery part.
Right, right.
Because I'm finding people are very caught up in that, and, you know, they keep going back to, yes, but. Forget about
I
that.
I know.
Well,
what I say isn't necessarily the best thing, but it's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I say there is a logical cause, and then there's the real cause. The logic is that I hurt my back picking up a heavy thing. The real cause is because I wasn't feeling emotionally or financially supported, and I took it out by hurting myself. So helping people find emotional cause is on some level the most beautiful gift you can give them, but it can also be seen as really mean if they're not ready or wanting or interested. So I say, so why did you choose, you know, to have that problem? Why did you choose to get sick? You know, I say, that's mean.
Yeah.
But if a person is open to the idea to this, then it can be very beautiful. I say, you know, I had, like I tell my story about waking up with the flu and being able to heal myself of the flu. And then I say, you know, I've been finding there's emotional causes, but not everybody's willing to go there and look at it. But those who do can find blah, blah, blah. And if you ever want to examine these things, I'm here for you, you know. And then that's just an invitation. But you can't push it on anybody because it's just, it's kind of cruel.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing is, like right now while I'm practicing, I'm working with family members. So they're not closed to it because they're
That's
wanting
good.
To help me gain the practice, right?
Yeah.
But their minds can't seem to get past, okay, but, you know, with my husband, he had a brain injury.
Yeah.
And we were dealing with his headaches.
Right.
And I said to him, well, you must have had headaches before your accident. Well, yeah. Okay, so we went back. We actually found two separate points in his life that he had something go on with his head, and they were definitely linked to emotional stuff. And they seem to tie together when these reappear in his life, the headaches get worse.
Yeah.
And when we got to the end, it was like, yes, but then I cuffed my head in an accident.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
okay,
logic. The logic will always trump what you're trying to do if that's where they want to go with it.
Yeah.
But what I would look at is not, did you have headaches before, but what emotions do you feel because you have headaches? What does it keep you from doing? How does it interfere with your life? What do you imagine is going on in your head? What words would you use to describe the pain?
Yeah,
that's
oh, we went through it all. In fact, I had to,
okay.
Because of the brain injury,
yeah.
There was several instances where he couldn't answer the questions. So
yeah.
I would have to try to rework them in a way that he could understand them.
Okay.
To get it drawn out, and then I would be like, okay, so we got that now. Now let's move on and let's try to get further. And I was really impressed that I could get so much further with him, that we went all the way to when he was 12, and that the emotions from something that happened when he was 12 tied into something that happened in his previous marriage. And,
yeah.
You know, I managed to get through it all, but literally took me like an hour and a half in discovery
sure.
stuff to get there with him. So he just, he just couldn't get past the physical part of it.
Yeah, well, it's not so important that the person gets past the physical part of it. The important part is the person processes the emotional part of it, and then the physical can take care of itself.
Yeah, but, well, I guess the thing with him was that, you know, I'm going through what we can do to begin to process that, and he's like, okay, but that's not really the cause. I'm going
no.
But
I know. Well, it's not for, you know, I don't really believe that self-created health will, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it'll ever have the kind of audience that Quantum Touch can have. Because
yeah.
It's a subset of people who want to look for that level of responsibility and be willing to go there. And I wish it weren't true. I'd really like it not to be true, but I think that's just how it's set up right now.
Well, thanks for that.
Sure. And good work. Keep going.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi. Seems like I have a lot of questions for you today.
Well, that's good.
I have studied different modalities. The first modality that I'd ever heard of that dealt with energy healing was Healing Touch International.
Oh, yeah.
So I started my first class. This is in 2010, and I found my birth mother. She had an inherited condition. It was called CMT disease, which involved a lot of pain in her legs and her feet. So I was using different techniques with her. Then I got to the point in my studies over the years where I learned to do the long-distance healing. What I discovered was it was almost like we were locked. When she hurt, I didn't. When I hurt, it seemed like I took on her pain.
Yeah, that can happen.
Okay. How do you sever that? Because I don't want that ability because it hurts.
Well, you know, if you process out your own issues in there, then you're not as likely to be inclined to go into hers.
Okay.
And so process out your own stuff as much as you can, and then you won't have that inclination.
Okay.
You create the separation.
Right. I just met her several years ago, and we're so much alike. It's not even funny. And
funny.
I felt like, you know, we've lived almost a mirrored life of abuse and everything. And I think that that's probably what tied us together was all these common emotions that we've had. Although we didn't share them with our life together, we shared them differently.
So you're saying
process mine first, and then
just process your stuff. Keep processing and processing.
Okay.
And then you'll feel more separation. I've heard so much about twins that were separated and how they were alike, but I hadn't really heard about mother-daughter separations and similarities in their lives.
Oh, yeah. My birth mother, when she had me in this hospital, she was told that I died. And I was put in a black market baby ring.
Oh, my God.
It's a wild story. I've had near-death experience. I've had all kinds of things. It's been wonderful, and then yet at the same time, it's been horrible. So I have a lot to process, a lot.
Well, you know, the good news is you've got some tools now and skills.
Yes, I also wanted to thank you again. Thank you for this. Because the process has really helped my foot, and it's really taken me places where I didn't even have any idea there were any issues there at all. So thank you so very much. One of the earlier callers had spoken, let's see, I'm trying to see what it was, about compassion and something about, the parent that kept telling her that she didn't have a right to release these emotions. I have a nodule on my thyroid, and I was feeling that, and as she said that, it moved upward, and now it's not there.
Wow.
So that tells me I have an issue I have to release with my adopted mother that raised me with that in mind.
Yeah.
So
that whole area of expression, because it's on the you know, the thyroid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to start on that as well. But again, thank you. You're such a blessing.
Oh, thank you.
You really are. I mean, this is a wonderful gift, not only to me, but to the world.
Well, thank you. That's what I want it to be, and I appreciate you expressing that.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
You.
Okay, let's hear from Chris.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Okay, good. Richard, this is really a fantastic class. I think I finally got it. You've been telling me about this for years, and
yeah,
you know, it makes sense. And you know, I've gone had my own experiences now, and it's really really fantastic. And you know, as is my nature as kind of an inventor, here are a couple of things that kind of came up. One is I felt a little disturbed when you were saying the way to deal with shame is to hand it back to the person who gave it to you.
Okay.
And but I think it's a great idea, but my tendency, I would want to neutralize it or have the intention to neutralize or inactivate it to hand it back. You know, so that you're not just pouring a bunch of crap on this person that you love, you know, or are deeply connected with.
Okay, I can see that. But you still want to just bring the anger into it, like, I do not accept this anymore, and have that forceful energy of, I do not accept this, and I'm giving, you know, I guess you don't have to give it back to the person, but I think there can be value in recognizing where it came from. And the intent is not to harm them with it. The intent is just to say, I'm through with it. This wasn't my vibration, it was yours.
Right, okay. And that's fine. I just wouldn't want to, you know, force them to have to deal with another wave of shame themselves. This is, of course, an internal process.
Yeah, and that wasn't your intent that they feel more shame, is it?
No, absolutely.
And the benevolent
not.
Infrastructure no. of the universe understands your intent.
Right.
Yeah, so your intent was, I just want to get rid of this. So the intent of the meditation was to release myself of it, and the universe understands my intent. And if my intent was to harm the person by making them feel terrible about how they hurt me, that would be a completely different intent.
Right.
Not even remotely like the one we're dealing with.
Well, by handing it back, I would be handing it back in an inactivated form.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Well, I'm saying.
I like that idea, and maybe we'll talk
about
that later.
You actually do a little,
You know,
do
you
a little work on
it. Yeah, you do a little work to, and maybe run some hard energy into it or something to neutralize it first, and then hand it back to them and say, "This wasn't mine, and I'm done with it," and so forth.
Right. I'll let you bury it.
Yeah, you can bury this.
Like that.
Exactly. A little humor in there too. That's good. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Chris was one of my co-authors, and actually the one I worked with most, on the New Human book. Chris is a scientist, and I've really enjoyed our friendship for about 14 years now. And
yeah.
you had another point
I've
also.
Count.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
the other point was, like a few callers ago, that I also used QT2 throughout, and I was focusing mostly on the 12 chakra techniques.
Oh, okay.
You know, or 10 chakras, where, you know, I would say, ask in the 10th, is there anything else that I need to work on, or, you know, help me, you know, what's the energy and essence of working through this thing? And that would save me from a lot of details. And then I would just run it through all the different chakras, and then when it would hit 8, it was like, okay, it's done. And
wow.
Then, or I may ask, you know, do I need to go through it again? And sometimes I did.
You may have found a shortcut and an inspiration for a lot of people to study QT2.
Well, QT2 is amazing, and this is amazing too. And I think you're right that they're going to work really well together.
Yeah, we just have to figure out all these. Just need to do a lot more exploration to find the linkages, and you just found a whole bunch of ideas there to work with.
So I think those are the main two things that came up.
Wow,
something
great.
Comes up, I'll put my hand up again.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
And thank you. This is a really, really is an amazing work. I know you've told me that other people keep saying it's amazing, and I just wasn't getting it, but you have to live it.
You got to experience it to know how good it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And I had a similar experience, you know, going and seeing my mother a couple of days ago, and you know, we've had a difficult relationship and all my life, and
yeah.
And it just seemed like a lot of that had been healed.
You know, I mentioned this in one other call a long time ago, but when I started doing a lot of this emotional process work back around 1980, and I had access to some of these release and techniques and a very preliminary forgiveness technique that I was using, and my mom always used to like me to make me feel guilty and everyone else in her life, and she would just keep laying out these guilt messages all the time. So I processed my anger about the guilt while she was away on vacation and I was house sitting at her home. And it was the weirdest thing that when she came back home again, she would say, "Oh, Richard, thank you so much. You did a great job taking care of the house. It looks beautiful, blah, blah, blah." And then I would hear her lay guilt on her new husband. I heard her call up my brother and lay guilt on him. And everywhere she would talk, I'd hear her laying guilt on everybody. And every time she talked to me, there was no guilt. So what that told me was that I had done a pretty good job of processing my issues with her, but had I processed them completely, I don't think I ever would have heard her say anything to anyone else that made them feel guilty, because it wouldn't have been in my vibration anymore. So the fact that you were able to see the shift in your relationship with your mom already is a really good sign. Remember I said that if you listen to the whispers of your reality, you don't have to hear the screams. Well, the whisper is, oh, the relationship is smoother now. That's a whisper. That means something changed, right? So you pay attention
right.
to all the symbols and the experiences, because they're always telling us information about the reality.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, often I hear you say that we create our reality, or that's one way of looking at things. And but when you're going through the remorse, and I thought it was very interesting, you were saying that you're forgiving yourself, or you're, you know, feeling remorse for not having created the thing in the beginning, but having created your reaction to the thing, or the, you know, what you carried with you from that thing. And you know, there's sort of two different ways of creating your reality, and maybe both are valid, but the second one is maybe easier for someone to accept.
So what are you saying about the second one? About your reaction
The second one, yes, is your reaction, or that
all
you
right.
created
so,
these things that you've been carrying with you all these years.
Yeah, that I carried this stuff with me. They did it to me originally, but now I've been carrying it on since then. That's
right.
Yeah, that is easier. Now, my large viewpoint is that we create everything about the reality. My small viewpoint is that we start where we are, and where we are is, I'm angry that you lied to me, and I need to process that anger out of my system. Or I'm upset that you betrayed me, and I need to express that. But now, wow, look, I betrayed myself. So we start where we are with whatever issue is on our plate right now, here and now, without trying to take a larger viewpoint. But I think in time, we will be able to bite off larger and larger pieces of responsibility. And as the people who see the world from a greater or deeper perspective of wisdom point out, that there really is no small print about us creating the reality, but the truth is we have to start where we are. And where we are is, oh, I can take a deeper level of responsibility and my knee pain goes away. That's fantastic. Now can we extend that? Just because we can run hard energy and do these little miracles, in no way suggests that's all we can do with hard energy, or all our energies for that matter. It's just a starting place. And self-created health, I think, is just a starting place on reality creation responsibility. And it's just where we begin. And you're right, we started in an easy to swallow way. Look how I've abandoned myself when I feel abandoned. I hurt myself. That is self-responsibility. Now, what part of me chooses to be abandoned over and over again? That's a deeper level of responsibility. And you start where you are with what you can handle.
Yeah, good way to put it.
Great.
Thank
good
you.
Good one. Good conversation there. Thanks.
Okay, let's hear from Vigo. Vigo, are you there?
Let's keep him on hold and come back to him in a minute. Maybe you've stepped away for a moment.
Okay. Nicola.
Hi.
Hi.
My question, Richard, is I'm working with a client who describes himself. He's about 65,
mm-hmm.
Very strong mother, very controlling mother, unappreciative mother,
mm-hmm.
I think. And he describes himself emotionally as dead.
Ooh.
Those are his exact words. I feel emotionally completely dead. And it's very unlikely at this point anyway that he would commit to doing the
self-recovery
and process. He's
yeah.
not, he's quite traditional
yeah.
and mannerly, as a matter of fact. So I'm wondering what your suggestion would be to help him go to the next stage, because I'm finding it very, very hard to reach him and help him. Very hard.
I don't know. I mean,
I've never
come across that. I would say that, you know, quantum touch might start opening doors. I would just kind of ask him, well, do you want to continue feeling emotionally dead, or do you want to wake up? Now, let's look at that for a moment. I've been told that the most painful thing physically is frostbite. That when the nerves start coming back, it isn't getting the frostbite that hurts, it's thawing from the frostbite that hurts. Because when the nerves start coming back to life and they're dying, that's really painful. And so when people are numb and dead, coming back to life can be a very painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something to really consider.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I do
yeah.
recognize that, and I have used quantum touch, of course, on him.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, because I do feel there is just a wonderful human being there,
yeah.
and I'm just trying to figure out a way to unlock even a desire to feel slowly, even
mm-hmm.
slowly,
yeah.
and to remove the fear. So I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
I'm kind of lost at this point because it's just too separate from. I can't generalize about that, but maybe
okay.
other people could have insights. But I think
okay,
just
there.
Keep just work with your own insights and your own awareness and go as far as you can and help him. I think the other thing is just chatting with him and say, look, I know you feel dead emotionally, but things still bother you, don't they?
Mm.
Some things bother
mm.
you. And he'll say, yeah, things bother me. I say, well, then you're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Hmm.
And so...
Well, I'll certainly look at... Mm-hmm.
That would
That's
certainly...
a window
least,
there, if there's a window there.
It's a little window, but it's a start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. Great. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Lori.
Hi again.
Hi.
I just had a revelation as I think it was Nicola was speaking, because I have somebody I've been working with for quite some time who has all sorts of weird physical issues and prefers to keep his emotions and stay in that negative state and not process a thing and stays as far away as possible while claiming that's not exactly how he feels. The reality is the reality. And
yeah.
the insight that I just had for this when she was saying how she could help this guy is we can talk about it or ask or kind of promote it and suggest it, but no one can process a thing until they're really ready.
Yeah.
So I could tell my friend whatever I want and how good it is, and it would be great for him to not have heart pain and the this and the that and the other thing. But until he's at a place where he is ready to even look at it, I could do cartwheels, he's not going to notice it.
Yeah,
and I think I just realized that when she was talking, like, there's nothing specific. When someone is dead set and not looking inward, and they're willing to just keep on blaming the world, I don't think we can just suggest and hope. But I don't think there's anything specific we could say, because you can't make someone look inward.
No, you really can't.
But I think that's what I just realized from the last call, that there's nothing really I can do except suggest to him, well, don't you want to stop having palpitations? And things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll eventually take me up on it, but that's all I can really do is suggest it.
I think that, you know, living a good life and being inspirational to other people can inspire them, and also tell your story to people. If you tell your story, that can inspire people to think, you mean that's really possible? Yeah.
Right, definitely. Just share the information and go with it.
Exactly. And I think that inspiring people can help them want to take that heavy coat off and go into the warmth.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. That's not actually what my question was. That just is what came to me in the last 13 points. The question I had was the flu story you tell your first experience, realizing at least consciously that there was emotion behind your feeling foolish?
Well, I could always feel in my body that there were emotional issues. I just I never really tried to access it. And it was such a shock to be sitting in the sun an hour later going, oh, my God, I was sick, when I was completely sick. I mean, not just like a little bit sick. I mean, I was completely sick. And that came from a workshop I had attended where this teacher, Lazarus, had said that all illness has an emotional foundation. And the emotion is primarily suppressed anger.
And that's what led you to your insight. Because I just recently heard you tell the story on one of the webinars that are out there about health and manifestation and all. And I was just wondering if that was your first conscious thing. Like,
yeah, that was it. That was the awakening. And then I had a private reading with Lazarus, and I had a rash on my butt. And I said, you know, I got this rash on the left side of my behind. And Lazarus said, well, that's because you were left behind. And that was it? Yeah, that's all it was. You know, it was this emotional experience that I just had. And so I used that little bit of information and developed all the questions around it.
And
the questions helped open the door to finding emotional cause.
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. I just wanted to confirm if that was your first actual experience.
Yeah, it really was.
Realizing, like, wow, oh, my God, I'm better. Because I just heard you talk about it right before this session started last weekend. Like, I think it was two Thursdays ago or whatever. And your voice, you could hear in your voice that you were like, and then I was down at the coffee shop having coffee, and you were like, wait a minute, I woke up sick. Hold everything. And you could hear in your voice that it was like, wow. So I just wanted to confirm if that was your first actual, you know, your aha moment for realizing all of this process.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for everything.
You bet.
And you're also very funny, and I appreciate that.
Well, not that this really matters, but I have a theory about education, that it has to be a balance between information, inspiration, and entertainment. And so I always try to keep that balance going.
I agree. I've been tutoring anatomy for 16 years, and when I laugh at the people I tutor and, you know, make it fun, we tend to retain the information. But thank you. Thank you,
you
for being
here
and doing all you do.
Great.
Okay, let's see if Vigo is back. You there, Vigo?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, and good evening.
Good evening.
It's so great with these teleconferences, because I can sit in my chair here in Norway and attend it.
That's perfect, yeah.
Yes, and I want to commend you, Richard, on the fantastic job you have done on Quantum Touch over the years.
Oh, thank you.
It's really amazing. I have a couple of questions. I have, good personal experience with a couple of terms, the term acceptance and the concept of allowance and gratefulness. But acceptance, first of all, what are your thoughts about acceptance as a term somewhere in between step 2 and 5 maybe in the 7-step process? Because I see you don't mention acceptance as
I think that it really depends on how people use it in the context. That some people try to accept the intolerable, or accept their pain, or accept their condition, their unhappiness. And in that case, I'm not real happy about it. But if they accept themselves, and which is kind of a function of love and forgiveness, and are open to allowing people to be where they are, and that kind of acceptance, I really like it a lot. So I think it depends greatly on the meaning of that word and the context and the time.
Yes.
So if it's used so I don't have to feel my emotions, I don't like it very much. If it's used as a way of expressing my compassion, I like it a lot.
I have also found it to really give a feeling of a release, or setting some, giving me some freedom or space. Let's say all the problems are in the past usually. We regret something, or
right.
We don't have time enough, or some cause, you know, is in there back in the... So if we can use acceptance then to say that, okay, it is what it is. We cannot change the past, but we can change the way we look at it. We can change
the
perspective.
Two things come to mind. First off, you can change the past. And we've demonstrated that, you know, like the healing I did on my cat, I changed her past.
Mm-hmm.
The past is not set in stone. And then I forgot what the second one was because I got so distracted mentioning that one. But, the other part is, if it works for you, you succeeded. In other words, if the reality is shifting and you're no longer attracting that painful situation and the part of your body doesn't hurt anymore, then you're right. It worked. It was good. But if it isn't working, then it wasn't enough. So the reality is the final arbitrator of our success in doing process work.
But what I often, let's say first of all, my own experience is that I, couple of years ago, started the practice of being aware of accepting everything as it is when I go to bed. So before I go to sleep, I just accept everything as it is, and then I say switch off, and I sleep like a baby.
Wow.
In the morning.
That worked.
It works. Excellent. Yes, because this is as much as I can do. This is my now, and this is my reality, and it is what it is. So I better accept it. It works well. And then in the morning, I can start out with a little reflection about gratefulness, about appreciation, something positive that, hey, this is a new day. I can use it for whatever I want. It is my choice. I can choose to do nothing, or I can choose to do everything that is terrible today, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But that makes me, that gives me a feeling of empowerment. There is nothing I must. I can choose anything I want from the top shelf.
I love this. This is good.
So I start the day by like that, and then I end the day by this acceptance that, okay, I've done my best. This is it. Now I can take off and have a sleep. So I was wondering, this acceptance, you know, maybe that could be there somewhere about the forgiveness step.
It sounds like an independent pathway that after you've done your emotional process, then you enter this very graceful, gentle acceptance vibration that you live in, and add gratitude to it. Because it doesn't sound like you're needing to process things. So when you've done the emotional process work and you've released what you have to release, then just move into acceptance.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like a beautiful step.
Yes, excellent. Okay, that was all I had. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's really good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Does anybody else want to share? We have no hands raised.
No hands raised. Well, sometimes we end it a little bit early if people don't really need to continue the conversation. But this is, like I said, this is your time, and we can just, and I thought that last call was really valuable, just to really consider just living in that vibration of acceptance. And my feeling is that if you've really done your emotional process work, then that is a very appropriate place to be living from. But if you start noticing that there are symptoms, health, relationship, financial symptoms, then it's time to go back and process the emotion and then move into acceptance. But I don't think acceptance is an emotional process, but I think it's a fantastic place to be, especially after you've done what you can do with your process. But the reality is the final indicator of how we're doing. So, anyone else want to chime in and continue the conversation?
Yeah, let's hear from Malcolm.
Okay, great.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
I was wondering from, and I don't know because I came into the call late today, but have you touched on as far as like a habit change from an emotional perspective? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, but I think it's a very exciting area to investigate, and I would think that you can ask yourself the same questions in the discovery process.
Okay.
And I'm really interested to know how that works out, because it may be tricky because it's so natural to continue doing the habit, but there may be a lot of emotions that you feel because of a habit existing. I'm pretty sure you'll find something really good there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a very interesting idea.
Okay, let's hear from Kathy.
I'm back.
Yay.
The question I have a dear friend who was in a severe car accident in 2005. He has no memories before 2005.
Wow.
He harbors a lot of anger. He's spoken to many people. He spent a lot of time trying to piece his history back together. The problem he has now, I'm sure, has always been there all of his life. It's just that it's becoming new to him again. He and his dad does not get along at all.
Right.
How do you make someone relive something they can't remember? Or release something that they can't relate to because they've been told this happened, but yet at the same time, how do you process something like that?
I have no idea. If anybody has any thoughts on the matter, feel free to chime in, but you got me on that one.
Yeah, I would love to be able to help him, but...
Well, I think that you might start... using the 10 chakra meditation from Quantum Touch 2.
Okay.
Because what's the energy and essence of accessing that information or whatever?
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, start getting creative, you know, with the techniques and see what we can find out.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Great.
As soon as I get the book.
Okay. Well, it's a good idea and a good place to start.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, Teresa.
Yes, hi. Hi again. I have a question, Richard. I know you've mentioned working with Lazarus, and I wanted to read a little more on him. What could I look him up under? Because I know when I look up...
Okay, lazaris.com.
Okay. Because I'm only getting the one that was raised from the dead.
Yeah, well, Lazarus has never been dead.
Okay.
Okay, let me just take 2 minutes and mention Lazarus, because Lazarus has been kind of a friend and inspiration to me for the last 30-some years. Since 1980 I started, so it's like 33 years now. And I worked very deeply with Lazarus and the material that they were providing from 1980 to 1995. I've only been working casually with the material since then, but it's always on my mind. I found the material from back in those days very interesting and useful to me. I found it a little bit less so after that. Lazarus is channeled through a man named Jack Purcell. No one else ever channeled Lazarus. Lazarus is a non-physical entity who has never had a physical incarnation on Earth or any other planet. They've never existed in a time-space dimension, as they say. And they just came in primarily to talk to this woman, Penny, who's no longer alive. And then they had a lot of friends here, so they continued talking. And it was all word of mouth for many years. And Lazarus was 100% accurate on emotional readings. And they don't do private readings anymore, but I was fortunate enough to have many of them. And the readings were ridiculously accurate. When I say 100% accurate, I don't mean 98.6. They were 100% accurate. But they would often talk about things you wouldn't understand for 3, 5, 6 years in the future, because it would take you a while to be able to grow enough to be able to understand what they were just saying. Even though the words were clear, you wouldn't be able to have access to the insight sometimes for 6 months or years later. So that was my experience of working with Lazarus very, very briefly. And through a private reading, actually a number of private readings, I was able to gain enough insight and perspective about myself that I've been able to utilize this. Now, what I did before I came up with the level 2 work in self-created health is I went back and listened to specific Lazarus recordings, which are available. And people can get a subscription for, I think, like, you know, $25 or $30 a month to listen to a lot of old Lazarus material. And there's endless work to be done listening to it. But I really missed the material they put out from 1980 to 1995. And generally, they're not even selling that material anymore. It was on the market for people to buy the recordings. And now they don't even put it out. Most of the material they sell is just from the last 10 years. And it's great stuff. It just doesn't interest me as much as it used to.
The reason I asked is because this wasn't the first time I had heard. And usually when I get a subject, whatever it might be, from different sources, it kind of raises within me that I need to hear something. So,
then definitely, if you're inspired, follow up, because there's a lot of great stuff going on there. And they're still doing seminars. And it's really amazing stuff. And I listen to the material from time to time and continue to glean great information. One piece I got recently was just a little tiny piece of information on one of the seminars Lazarus was teaching, and they said that imagination is actually the fifth dimension. They said the fifth dimension's not just a musical group from the 1960s, but you know, they're very funny too. And but when you consider the level 2 work really uses imagination as a component of it. And I'm thinking that one of the things that we're going to be able to do in the future is really increase the function of imagination in the level 2 work and see if that we can't even improve the work further by doing that.
Well, thank you. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, especially that I'm taking, like I said, I'm taking the QT2 in May. So
perfect. Well, you'll have a great time. It's amazing stuff. It's just mind blowing.
I've already started reading the book. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, good.
Okay, let's hear from Chris.
Oh, hi. Hi again. It struck me that after you've taken people through all these processes, or after you've shown them how to do it, and then they do it, and suddenly these old burdens are gone, or their health is better. I'm wondering if some people, especially if it's something that they might have had since birth, if they might just benefit from a couple of little hints on what to do next. You know, basically, someone already said it, the gratitude
Yeah.
And what was it?
Acceptance.
Acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance, gratitude, maybe even excitement.
Enthusiasm,
peace.
Sure. Peace.
We could think of a lot of things.
Joy, fun, play, yeah, wonder, exploration. There's a great piece that I got from Lazarus years ago. They talked about the path of the warrior. And there's a lot of people talk about spiritual warrior. It's kind of a popular topic. And they suggested, well, what are the functions of a warrior? A warrior has to plan, strategize, attack, defend, retreat, heal wounds. I mean, does that really sound like fun? You know, be courageous all the time. But there was another path, the path of the adventurer. And the adventurer gets to explore and discover and love and embrace and play, and it goes on and on. And it's like, wow, that sounds like a whole lot more fun. If you wanted to have if your life was a movie, do you want to be in a war, or would you rather be in an adventure? Well, I think adventure sounds a whole lot more fun than doing a war. And since this is a movie of our own creation, I'd rather be in an adventure film than a war film.
Yeah, and then warriors, you know, what if they win? Then they're kind of, well, what do I do now? Because they have to change their game. You know,
yeah.
Celebrate, you know, change into something else.
Yeah. Now you have to defend the territory that you just won. And you still have to be at war and strategize that they're going to come get you now. So you never end, the war never ends. Because the vibration always will attract, you know, well, what if they now come after you or whatever happens? You know, you still have to be plan and attack and retreat and all the rest. So it's just more fun. And so what we're really talking about is changing the paradigm of the script that we're creating and living in.
Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, when this comes into a book at some point, you know, just to have even just mention a few words like that. It's like, what do you do now? Well, you know,
exactly.
You know, compassion, gratitude, you know,
yeah,
acceptance.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Love, fun, play, joy, wonder, exploration, etc. Yeah, and even more than that, just really go into them a bit to really bring them out. And now people are getting to see our dynamic of writing and how we explore ideas and how we put them together.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
First time we've ever done it in public.
Yeah, that's true. Well, now I'm totally embarrassed. But that's how we operate. We just kind of play with ideas and come up with good things and we share them.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, this may be just getting rid of someone's sore foot, and they know what to do with it without a sore foot. They just
right.
go walk without pain. But, you know, if it's really deep emotional issues, you know, shame or anger or whatever from earliest childhood or from before a car accident where they lost their memory
yeah.
or whatever, you know, it's like here you are. You need to
well, there is a technique that you can use for creating a new identity. But I don't know how to make it stick very well yet. I think that maybe using the level 2 would help it stick. But the technique is this. You come up with five words ending in ing, they're present participle words, about what you would do in this new identity. Things that you would be doing, put it in present participle terms. I'd be laughing, I'd be playing, I'd be dancing, I'd be celebrating, I'd be this and that. And then you come up with five words of how you would be. And so I guess I kind of got the wrong category. So do might be dancing, playing golf, hiking, you know, just different things that you would do. And then five that you would be celebrating. You can't say gratitude. You'd say you can't say gratefuling. So you'd have to come up with a more active word to describe what that is. And in those words, then you could probably run through the 10 chakra meditation. What would be the energy and essence of celebrating? What would be the energy and essence of playing, and what other words you would have, and you could explore those in the 10 chakra meditations. That'd be how we'd integrate the new self using the QT2.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, they just come out. That's what happens. You ask a question, it comes out.
Yeah, right. To create a new identity that you could just walk into or wake up in.
Exactly. So what's the energy and essence of waking up in the vibration of, and then you could create an icon and then run energy into that QT2 book.
Yeah, so, right now I'm thinking of the movie Avatar, where he wakes up in a new body, you know, new world.
Yeah, that was rather telling, wasn't it, that we never really imagined we had that option.
Mm-hmm.
What if you began your life this morning when you woke up, but you woke up with all the remembrances of an entire lifetime? Do you really know you didn't start your life this morning? And the answer is no. You really don't know that you didn't start your life this morning. And how do you know you just didn't wake up in this body this morning with all the memories in place?
And then you could just work on it now.
Yeah. So let's see. I've got all these memories, and they seem real, so let me just process and work with them and see what I can do with that.
Yeah, this is really fun stuff, Richard.
I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I really appreciated you being here.
Me too.
Okay, great. And now people know what our process sounds like and looks like.
Yes, we do. We know all the details.
Yes, you do.
Okay, here's Lori.
Hi, guys. I was wondering two things. First, did you say that this five-part process, you go for five words of how you'd be doing and five words of how you'd be feeling?
Just think of the words be and do. What would you do? How would you be?
What would you be? Okay, I wrote it down. I just want to make sure I got that.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
I'm sorry. The other one, because not completely, well, it's related to the class, but not to the topic right at this moment. But I saw during the week you guys put the replays up. How long will we have access to them?
I don't know.
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
that's
the answer.
As long as I log in and just go with it.
Yeah.
Just go
save
in
the link.
Yeah.
Mhm. Save the link, the username and password, and then you'll have access to it.
Okay, excellent. I love the fact that we can all be all over the country and the world and have this teleseminar. So I love that. The only thing I was wondering, if maybe in the future, it's something to think about, if you guys could do something like online where people could ask the questions and then you answer them when no one's hand is raised.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Or something like that. I'm just only thinking of that because it seems like sometimes you want to respond to the person who just spoke.
Right.
But then eight people later, and you're like, wait, what was this? I'm not taking notes and writing stuff down to try to remember. But I was like, asking about how long the replays will be up, it seemed like almost stupid to have to ask you and waste the time of everybody just to ask that. So if
that's
there's
no big
way
deal.
To ask a question.
Well, you know what? We would probably get that. I get several emails and calls, so actually it's great that you asked that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the future we'll be able to have a slightly different system where people can just type in their questions too.
Yeah, just I think that way people could remember what they were trying to ask or whatever, and then you could answer as it's relevant because maybe questions are the same or something.
That could be too. That could be good.
I was just thinking that, but I have to thank you so much. This is just such awesome stuff. It really is.
Oh, thank you.
I want to run out with everybody I see. I'm like, can I tell you about this stuff? I want to tell everybody. I know a lot of people don't want to go there, so I don't run around telling everybody unless they seem like they could be receptive to it, but it is incredible.
Appreciate it so much.
Okay, let's hear from Malcolm.
How are you doing, Richard?
Doing better and better.
You know, sometimes you just have to laugh at yourself. So the original reason I had raised my hand was because you were talking about the energy and essence of being in this new vibration.
Yeah.
And it was reminding me because I go to Ramtha School of Enlightenment out in Washington, and he's also a channeled entity.
Right, I'm familiar with Ramtha.
But he speaks through a woman. And it's interesting for me because as far as the having the icon and breathing energy into that, it's very much like one of the disciplines that they teach out in the school.
Huh.
You know, and it's interesting for me because that whole process of creating like an architecture, which is what the picture is, of mm-hmm. this thing that you want to bring into your reality.
Right.
You know, and just by you naturally focusing on that, you know, that God that's inside of you is seeing that and is helping bring that literally into reality. So it's interesting for me to see where what you've learned and what you're showing us here kind of overlaps with stuff that I know works.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, from what he's taught me, I know exactly why that would work that way.
Oh, cool.
So it's just an interesting thing, you know, to hear. And I didn't know if you knew about him or
not. I've been aware of Ramtha from, I guess it was like the early 90s or something, J.C. Knight and the whole thing. I saw a video way back then also, and I just wasn't attracted because I was already connected with Lazarus, and it was a very different kind of vibration. I just appreciated one more than the other.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's that was really my only comment out there. So.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. So how are we doing, Devin?
We're good. We don't have any hands raised, and there's all of 3 minutes left of the call. So.
Well, why don't we wrap it up? Just thank everybody so much. I mean, this has been really helpful and wonderful.
Yeah, sorry, Richard. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Why don't you say what you want to say, Devin?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple little kind of announcements. We have a self-created health group page on Facebook, and it's great to communicate with like-minded people and stay connected because what my experience is of working with practitioners and anybody taking the workshops is that if you don't find that community and stay connected to it, it's easy to lose the joy that you found in it. So we have a self-created health group page. We have Quantum Touch group and fan pages. And we also have a really awesome blog if you go to our website. And I think it's awesome for a couple reasons. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of validation and experiences with Quantum Touch and self-created health. But for you as a practitioner or instructor, when you put a blog up there, people see it all over the world. And we've had a lot of people get some clients through it. So, again, you're sharing it. Somebody said earlier, when you share this work, it's an opportunity. And I thought that was just so brilliant because oftentimes, you know, we feel like we're on the outskirts of society with this work. But if we look at it as an opportunity to share, then you'll start contributing more and connecting with those like-minded people. And we are all over the world, so it's very exciting. So that's about it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's all yours, Richard.
Well, let's put everybody on speaker, and we can say our fantastic goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye,
bye
guys.
Thank you. Do more of these.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Bye,
Richard.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bless you.